everyone. It's Fred Kumalo, your host at Books and Beverages, sponsored by City Press. Now, in the studio today, I'm joined by one of the most productive and prolific South African authors. He writes across different genres. He's famous for his novels, short story collections, and of late, he's been editing anthologies of writing by different contributors, both fiction and non-fiction. And so the name might ring a bell with many of you, because I know you are lovers of South African writing and African writing in general. Nick Mhlongo is the guest who is joining us. Well, he's now based in Germany, but we'll get to that. But he's decided to grace the studios of City Press in Randburg by his presence physically. Say hello to our listeners.
Hello to our listeners, and hello to everyone that is, you know, that buys our book, so our books. And thank you, Fred, for having me here in your studio. I won't touch it.
Don't touch me on my studio. Listen, guys, it's real fun to have you join us as we explore different avenues in our literary space, South African and African literature. And we're producing so many books in this country that we felt, let's acknowledge the production that is being done by our writers. And Nick is one of those. He doesn't need a proper introduction because people know who he is. However, some of you remember his very first book was Dog Eat Dog, a novel that came out. It came out in 2004.
Yes,
2004. Yes. And I saw you did a post this week, early this week on Facebook, just reminding people that 2004, you hit the ground running with this book.
Yeah.
What is A Dog Eat Dog all about? Just to remind those who are not familiar.
So Dog Eat Dog, it's about a journey. It's a journey taken by a young man to go into formerly what used to be whites-only institution, Wits University. Of course, whites-only in inverted commas, mm-hmm. because there were quotas and stuff. Blacks were allowed, but there were quotas. Mm-hmm. But in 1994, when Mandela became a president, all the floodgates into what used to be whites-only institutions opened.
Yes.
And then this is the journey of a young man. And that young man was also me, actually, partially me.
Yes. Not so it's semi-autobiographical. Yes.
Yeah, so it's that journey into a space that used to be white, and then how a person that comes from a township in a public school navigates that particular space.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's about that journey. It tells us how the person came from the township, went into for the first time studying with white people, mm-hmm. and then the cultural differences, and also trying to understand each other. So that's exactly what Dog Eat Dog is all about. And also it's set around the most important time in South Africa, 1994, first democracy, Mandela came into into power, mm-hmm. you know, that euphoria, that fear, you know, and that anxiety.
And hope as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the journey continued with the sequel to the book, After Tears.
Yes.
Did you, when you finished Dog Eat Dog, did you already know that there was going to be a sequel, or is it something that came organically? How did it come about?
It came very interesting. So, thank you for that question, because it helped me to clear these things up. So, Dog Eat Dog and After Tears were originally one manuscript.
Yes.
So, I didn't know anything about writing, because I wrote this long manuscript, which had Dog Eat Dog and After Tears. It was undivided. It was just Dog Eat Dog, all of it. Mm-hmm. So, I went to Cape Town, while I was still at the University of Cape Town, because I left Wits after graduating and then went to the University of Cape Town. Mm-hmm. So, while I was at the University of Cape Town, I got bored, because that's a republic on its own, you know. So, I got bored, and then I started writing. So, when I started writing, And then I had to submit. I submitted this manuscript to Quella. But, of course, firstly to different places because I didn't know anything.
Exactly.
I didn't know anything about, right? I was coming from a law background, so to say.
Yes.
Although I did literature, but law was my most important one. So, and then I sent the manuscript to Quella finally after sending it to different places. And then Quella, there was a reader there. Most of the readers said, we don't understand this.
Yeah.
This is not good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reader, the writer is trying to impress, but mm-hmm. we're not impressed, you know.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, for the benefit of people listening out there who are not familiar with the industry. So what happens, a would-be writer, would-be author submits a manuscript to a publishing house. And then the publishing house has got these people who are called professional readers, people who assess manuscripts. Are they publishable? And if they are publishable, what needs to be fixed?
Yeah.
So it so happened that at that time, when Nick was submitting this manuscript to different publishing houses, the publishing industry was still very white and largely still is.
Yeah.
As a result, these professional readers who are white, educated people, academics and authors themselves, are not familiar with black stories.
Yeah.
So they would reject a manuscript based on their own prejudices and experiences and so on, which can be very painful for a young up-and-coming writer.
Yes, but also for me, although the manuscript has had some very beautiful, touches, you know, the things, like, imagine I was coming from law background, so I thought, like, when I was writing, I need to find nice words, low words, mutatis mutandis.
Want to impress.
Yeah, instead of saying understand, as comprehend.
Yes.
You know, such kind of...
You're trying to impress.
to impress. So, but I lost the plot by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances, because the manuscript was huge. It was about 400, 500 pages. I wanted to get Dan Brown of South Africa.
Yeah.
So, when the manuscript was... one reader just said, non-published, but this is shit.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, this is shit.
Mm-hmm.
So until one said, this is not publishable, but there is something that the writer should focus in. I like this story about 1, 2, 3, 4. That guy was James Woodhouse, who later happened to be my publisher at Quella.
Mm-hmm.
He had just come from Norfolk, you know, in England, and was just a student visiting his girlfriend, but asked for jobs to work just a little bit.
And he didn't have the prejudices, South African prejudices.
And then,
comes with a fresh perspective.
Yeah. That's where I focused on it, because he said to me, I remember what he said. He said, the manuscript reminds me of On the Road.
Yes,
by Jack Kerouac.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, let me go and read Jack Kerouac.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read Jack Kerouac many, many times just to find out what can I do for my manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did that, and then they cut the large chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that large chunk, when they cut it, I didn't put it in a bin or delete it. I made it after tears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So there's a tip. I know there are some people out there who are listening attentively because they themselves are undergoing these experiences of being rejected by publishers. So there are tips that you can pick from this program, especially from a veteran of Nick Mhlongo's stature. So now, to go back to your books, now you've done Dog Eat Dog and then After Tears. And then you start writing short stories.
Yeah.
And you publish the short story collection. And things are happening. And I recall that right there or thereabout, New York Times did a huge profile of you. Rachel Donadio from the New York Times came to South Africa to assess what's happening in this country post-1994 in different aspects of life, including literary output.
Yes.
What are writers writing about now? Yeah. Because at that time, there was this sense that, apartheid is dead. what are black writers going to write about? Somebody actually said that.
Yeah.
And Rachel wanted to prove that there is life beyond apartheid. There is in the literary space. And she interviewed you. It was a big story in the New York Times.
Eight pages, man.
Yes, I remember that. And I was so envious because I'm also a writer. So now, what I'm trying to alert our listeners to is that at that time, Mhlongo became the face and voice of what later became Kwaito literature.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? What did that mean, or what does it mean to you as a writer?
So, starting from in 2004, when I published, actually, I think that's where it should be. So around that time, when I came out, what were considered the young generations were just few. Actually, notably, Paswani Mpe, who happened to be my lecturer at WITS for literature in the 90s, and Silo Dacre.
Paswani Mpe, for the benefit of those who are not familiar with his work, he wrote the seminal Welcome to Our Heilbronn, a very short but very powerful novel.
Yeah, definitely. So when I came out, those were the two people that were very powerful, amongst the youth around that time. Mm-hmm. So, I remember I have never met a Silo Dacre, for instance. Mm-hmm. So I remember one thing that happened to Silo Dacre. There used to be Media 24 used to what is it, True Love?
Yeah,
used to have a column which say Men of the Moment.
Yes.
So they wanted to feature Silo Dacre as Men of the Moment for writer, and then Silo Dacre said no. I'm not. Look at this guy, this new book that has just come out. Mm-hmm. Is by Nick Mhlongo. I didn't know him. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I got an email to say, we are recommended by Silo Dacre to come and interview you as Man of the Moment.
That was very generous of him.
Exactly. Yes, that's why I'm trying to show that in most cases when we write as South Africans, we have to be closer to one another and also give each other tips. And everywhere you go, you know, you do that, you know. So what happens is that, so after that, when Silo Dacre was, when I was interviewed, I suspect after that, that's also when, at the same time, when I got a call from New York Times, Rachel Donadio, and I didn't know anything about, I used to read New York Times, but I just thought, like, wow, it's unbelievable. It's a big thing that could happen for a person that has only one book and who is not yet entrenched into the literary scene of South Africa, because I'm still interested in law, you know. So Rachel came, and then there was a photographer and whatever, and then they said, we're writing a story about a radio book. I loved it, you know. And only to find out the book is also picked at a New York University. It's still being read now. So that was a greater, 2006 was a greater time for me, in a sense that many people were now getting interested into post-apartheid South Africa.
Yes.
But what mostly get us interested, people got interested, is that on the other scenes, like football scenes, for sports, football scene, South Africa was bidding around that time for the World Cup.
Yes.
And many people were saying, we cannot go to South Africa and whatever. What kind of a country? It's in the S of the world or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were trying to understand what Africa, South Africa is, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's when the stories, people were interested into the stories. Coming back to your point of short stories. So that's when Germany won. But in Germany already, there were people wanting to let people know about South Africa. So they compiled Manfred Leunmer, for instance, from the University of Heidelberg, has got the publishing house. So he wanted to compile short stories. Mm-hmm. And then he went straight to different people that they thought are important in South Africa, the youth. Mm-hmm. So it was me. There was this guy called Spikos around that time. You know, he used to sing as well. Mm-hmm. So there was Silo Dacre before, because they took Cyril Decker's short stories that were not published before.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were quite a number of people that they put together. So those short stories were the first short stories that I ever wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And my first short stories were published in German, not in English,
mm-hmm.
for that matter. Mm-hmm. So that particular short story was published in French, because even the French wanted to know what kind of a country they are coming
mm-hmm.
to in case
mm-hmm.
of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was published by Italians,
mm-hmm.
and then was published in New York,
mm-hmm.
was published in Portugal, you know, so different places
mm-hmm.
and different. That's why I started to be published around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So people started noticing me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when other books came out, like for instance, after Tears in 2007, immediately,
mm-hmm.
because now South Africa was about to win World Cup, it was clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then these different countries now started to
mm-hmm.
translate my work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how the journey started. But that article of New York Times helped a lot, because anything that is published by New York Times is taken verbatim, translated verbatim or whatever, you know, in other mediums in Europe. Like, for instance, in Germany already, in France, in Le Monde, it was, as it is, 8 pages, you know. And then you go to Germany, there's also Le Monde as well, which is in German, 8 pages as well. So Italy, you know, so that's when I was, as my traveling journey also started.
Mm-hmm.
So I started traveling all over the world, because now I'm the face. You know, I'm traveling with people like Dion Mayer. I'm
mm-hmm.
traveling with people like Andre Brank,
mm-hmm.
you know, the late Ahmed Dango,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tate Zeksinta, in different places. So that's how the journey peaked. I think it was not only about literature alone. I think I came at the right time, because it was not around literature alone around that time. It was also other things, World Cup, people wanting to know where are they coming,
they're coming to this country called South Africa. What is it like? So you became kind of an ambassador for South Africa, cultural ambassador.
So you'll find that those books were now read in different institutions also in Europe, you know. In the US, I think my books are read in, I think, 7 institutions, New York University, Vanderbilt, Connecticut. So my work became sort of a set work. But of course, set work is different. It's better if ever it's a set work for undergrad, so in most cases,
because it's the numbers are huge.
An elective that is not even taken by many students. That 12 students that are there.
And now Nick is translated into various languages: Portuguese, Italian, German, and so on. But I think the first book that was translated into Portuguese, and you won an award. Was it Portuguese or Italian first?
Italian.
Yes. Tell about that experience. Now your book is translated into Italian. They invite you over there. What happened?
Yeah, well, it was translated by El Combre, I think, in Italy, and also in. So Doggy Dog was published, was translated into Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, After Tears was translated into Spanish.
Okay.
So I went to, let me start with the Spanish one. With the Spanish one, it was the most beautiful thing. That's why I remember it, because they featured South Africa in a small town called Cartagena by the Mediterranean. And why they featured South Africa, so in literature it was me. They wanted us to. They even ran a competition around that time, an international competition. So in that competition, it was myself, Tate Zeksinta, and Ahmed Dango, Bitter Fruit. And so I was still in Italy.
So you were participating in this festival?
I was told come to this festival because. you are one of the, you are shortlisted for this prize.
Mm-hmm. And what is the prize called?
An internationale. I forgot. It's
okay.
It's Spanish. Mm-hmm. So when it happened, I was still in Italy, mm-hmm. in Florence, mm-hmm. Where the book also was translated. So mm-hmm. they say you must be here
because it happened in Spain now.
In Spain, in mm-hmm. Cartagena. Mm-hmm. Take a flight to there. So immediately they said to me, if you can win. Because we need you to accept the prize if you are a winner, which musician would you like to be there? Mm-hmm. And there were Mahotela Queens there.
Wow.
And
I said,
Mahotela Queens, I grew up loving them. Mm-hmm. And they said, which song would you like? I'm in love with the Rastaman. I said,
okay.
That's okay. What they're going to play.
Okay.
And the reason I remember this is because, there were so many South Africans. So there was also Abdullah Ibrahim, mm-hmm. I think Thandiswa Mazwai was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, different musicians. So when I won that award, they announced in a big stage. You know, there's medieval stage. Cartagena is a city with three different levels of cities. So mm-hmm. there's a medieval city, mm-hmm. there's an Arab city, mm-hmm. there's a modern city. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so they announced it from there. You know, mm-hmm. and then I said, wow. So that's why I still remember it, how it was, mm-hmm. how beautiful it was. And I won that award, mm-hmm. which also, maybe, do I have time to go into that story, how one thing that happened with that
award? Yeah, sure. My own
name. On the third day, now I'm carrying the award, I'm going back to South Africa. Mm-hmm. The previous night, there was a big bomb, bus explosion, you mm-hmm. know, terrorist mm-hmm. Attack. Mm-hmm. And then they gave me a very heavy bronze. It's like a head of a, but more heavier bronze. Mm-hmm. I still have it. So I'm taking it to South Africa now, carrying it. And now the police dog are surrounding me, sniffing at it.
What is this you're carrying? Yeah.
And you know what saved me? Mm-hmm. It's because on the newspaper, carrying it on the first page, mm. carrying the award
Then
I don't know Spanish, so I'm pointing to.
This is what it is, not a bomb. I remember the story.
So it was around that time. But it was also the time when, you know, everyone was interested into South Africa. Mm. And then in 2006, if not mistaken, that's when we won the World Cup, to host the World Cup. So now it was genuine. Mm. It was, everyone knew that we are going to South Africa. Mm. So you would be called everywhere. So I remember 2006, I was never even in South Africa. 2007, mm. I would just come a little bit and then go because... Mm. I would have to go to Alefius in England. Mm. I would go to Ireland. I'll go to Denmark, Norway. You'll go to different places to talk about literature, for instance. And but within because people that come there are people that have know that there's a South African and they need to know about certain things that are happening in South Africa or. Things that they might expect in South Africa around
Sure. So, in case you've just joined us, it's Fred Khumalo, Books and Beverages, City Press. We're talking to Nick Mhlongo about his literary journey. And now, Nick, you are based in Germany.
Yes.
And I was with you not so long ago for a major literary festival. How did it come about? How did you get to Germany, and why are you in Germany, and what are you doing in Germany?
Okay, so what happens is that how I started going to Germany, I started going a long time ago. I mean, I started in 2005. Mm-hmm. I went to the Zilt. It was run by, it's a fellowship, actually.
Yeah. Writers fellowship.
So I went there, and I fell in love. Why? Because I was able to write after tears, complete after tears from them. And then now when my book in 2015, Way Back Home, was translated into German, it garnered lots of support from Germany and neighboring countries like Switzerland and other places. So I established relationships. Like, for instance, I teach literature, let me not say teaching because it sounds formal. I facilitate writing workshops, writing workshops in schools and universities. So one of the schools is Baden, which is in Switzerland, in Zurich. So I always go to Zurich to facilitate. But I do have something with in Germany as well. There are certain schools that I do the same thing, you know. But the greatest relationship in that happened in Germany was in 2020 when I won the DAAD, that which is the most prestigious literary prize in what is it, fellowship,
writing fellowship.
And there for a year, and then within that year I was able to write to edit and write books. I was edited Hauntings, for instance, Jobek Noah, and then also I wrote Paradise in Gaza. So, and also I did some of the work for Black Text. So I think my relationship with Germany is the fact that Germany is the place where I feel like when I'm there, I'm able to do lots of literary stuff that I want to do in peace without load shedding.
Look at him. He's reading as he's coming to you in Germany as well.
But the thing, exactly. So, but the thing about it is that I also work. So, coming to your point, I also work, although it's not too much of a work. I work in different places around Europe, you know, as I said, Switzerland. I do sometimes get invited to come and teach in, universities in Belgium, Netherlands, so different institutions, and even Germany, many, quite a number of places like Tübingen, Germany, and stuff. So I do, I think that there are more chances, open chances that are there, unlike when I'm here. And also I do assist, like I did last year, for instance. I was assisting in the African Book Festival, actually. My aim is that, I'm aiming at getting South African artists, authors, to be known around Germany. I think I'm very much linked to different publishing houses, for instance, my own Wunderhorn and Intercontinental. That's where you're published, actually.
guys out there, if you're listening to us, let me attest to Mhlongo's generosity. He mentioned earlier, he mentioned Zilt. It's a, this writer's writing residency. Thanks to him, I was invited to Germany for the first time to spend. I spent a few weeks or a month in Cologne, thanks to his generosity. And of course, my first literary, historical novel, Dancing the Death Drill, has been translated into German, and it's being published in Germany next year by Intercontinental, with which he is very closely associated. So Nick Mhlongo and Zukiswa Vanner have been very generous to many of us who are writing, who are based in South Africa, to say, you know, let's write, but our stories shouldn't end in South Africa. They must be sold and exposed and translated into various languages all over the world. And that symbiotic relationship that we have as writers and as artists in other disciplines of art is occasioned by the work that Mhlongo is doing in Germany, whereby last time I was there, there was a huge festival, literary festival, but there were South African musicians participating there, and so on. Yeah, and so we need those platforms.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do. Because, when we're starting, The things like when we start, when I started myself, it was different.
It was very different and very difficult.
Yeah, there was no internet. You couldn't even reach the physics in the...
Yeah, yeah.
You had to write a letter.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And then the thing, also one of the things that I didn't even... My journey, for instance, if I can talk my story about publishing, I went to Quella. I happened to go to Quella simply because I thought it was black.
It's the black name Quella. And it is Afrikaner.
But where did I first submit my manuscript? I submitted my manuscript in there's a place in Houghton. It's they publish only educational things.
I didn't know at all.
Yeah, yeah. And my manuscript sat there, and my computer broke. Mm-hmm. And my manuscript was there. Mm-hmm. And I had to go and tell those people that I need the manuscript. Only to find out they fired the person. And I said, I need it. I'm not going out until you give me... they sent me to the room. I looked for my manuscript for about... the whole day, almost the whole day.
You know? Until you found it.
Until I found it. And it was not even marked. I had to look manuscript by manuscript and say, this must be mine. And I found it. Yeah. By luck. So after tears was... it's because I didn't know. I remember the first time I went to the Star because I used to read, reviewers. People review books. They used to review books. And I thought that was a publisher. That it means that that person is a publisher.
Yeah.
And I went to that person and then I wanted to submit the manuscript to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I'm saying is that some of the things might sound... very obvious, but to another person, you need to explain.
Now, thankfully, these days there's the internet.
Yeah,
yeah. So your journey would be very different from a person starting now.
Yeah.
So people out there, you're listening to Nick Mhlongo, you're listening to Fred Khumalo. We are published authors. We know how painful it is. When you are trying to get published, you don't know where to turn to.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there is the internet now. You can just Google how to get published in South Africa.
Exactly.
And it will show you many options.
Exactly.
And please do not send your manuscript to those companies that demand money from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not. Yeah. People are falling for those scammers.
Yes. Yeah. And one other thing I like that too. That's a very good, I think that's a fundamental. Actually, never send it to those people because people come back to us in most cases and say, what did you do? I sent it to somebody else. This journey, these journeys are very much important. If you don't understand the journey, get a person next to you. But the most important thing that I would like to advise people is that this information is very is there when you attend each and every, attend lots of book launches.
Book launches, book fairs, there's so many of them these days. Yeah.
Attend as many as you want. Mm. Ask any question that you want. Mm. So those platforms are there. During my time, there was no...
There was nothing.
Yeah, it was an elite thing. When you are invited to Franchuk Festival, you feel like you are the greatest. You are invited to, the Durban. Time of the Writer.
Time of the Writer. Number one. Yeah.
So, and then... but nowadays, if you have an opportunity, even if you don't have money, I think nearest to you, there's a book reading or whatever.
Exactly.
Go there.
Yeah.
You know?
Wise words from an experienced and veteran author. Guys, we're running out of time. I wish we could have gone on and on and on and on and on with Nick Mhlongo here. Nick Mhlongo is the published author of novels such as Dog Eat Dog, After Tears, Way Back Home, Paradise in Gaza Ngulu, or Paradise in Gaza. And then, of course, collections of short stories, Affluenza, Soweto, Under the Apricot Tree. And of course, he has done anthologies whereby he sits with different writers and publishes their contributions. Here I'm talking about Joburg Noir, I'm talking about Hauntings, I'm talking about Black Text.
Yeah.
So it's a varied cornucopia of literary food. into which I ask you to tuck. It's available. His books are available at bookstores, physical bookstores. You can buy them online. They are there. And they will change your life, whether you are a writer or not, in that you will begin to see some aspects of South African life or human life that you have never considered. And if you are an upcoming writer, you will see how a writer gets started on his writing journey. And Mhlongo is the epitome of that writing journey, with all the hurdles that he had to negotiate. And look at him now. He is one of the most quoted and well sought after authors in the world, not just South Africa, in the world.
Thank you. So,
Mhlongo, I don't know if you want to say one or two words to our listeners, both up and coming writers and people who love books in general.
Okay. I've got two things, maybe one. There's something to look forward to in December.
Yes.
I think 11th of December, I think you're
participating
as well.
11th of December.
It's called Gauteng Book Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be at Ubuntu Crawl
in
Soweto. Yeah. And Ubuntu Crawl, that's where Soweto beer is made. No? So if you come there, you'll always have all these experiences. It's just next to Vilakazi Street, maybe 5 minutes walk from Vilakazi Street in Soweto. So it's on the 11th. Fred is there. Tate Zeksimda is there. Vusi Pikodi.
Wow.
Bexisa Mube.
Wow.
Sunyati.
Wow.
Quite a number of people. Sorry, yeah. I've forgotten some.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, then it's directed by Lorenzo Tolle of
The crème de la crème, as they say in French, of South African writing will be there at Ubuntu Crawl the 11th of December. Yeah. They'll be signing books. You will buy their books. They'll sign and they'll speak about different arts aspects of writing and publishing in South Africa. So, if you are an upcoming writer, be there. And if you are a lover of South African literature or African literature or literature in general, be there.
And there will be children's section. So
yes.
There will be children writers, you know, people who write for children literature. They will be there also entertaining children and stuff. So come. Don't have to leave your child at home. Come with your child.
Come with your family.
With your family, they will be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ubaba Sekaya will be entertained Mujwala if you ever have time.
Why do you assume it's women who go to these things?
Exactly. Women play the most important role in South African literature
because
they are our readers.
Yes.
I've seen that, actually.
That is true.
I think 95% of us as guys, we follow those kind of women who tell us what to read and what not.
Yes,
so
yes.
They are the ones that attend book festivals. They're the ones that buy our books. So it's me appreciating and also appreciating book clubs in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's all from us at Books and Beverages. My name is Fred Khumalo of City Press. Join us next time for another installment of the show. Thank you very much.